Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday night, February 11th, 2020, and you are listening to The Lighthouse on the Sacred Embers Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's hosts are Tina Godin, Natasha Scott, and Shannon Johnson. And our topic tonight is when spirit overshadows or does a type of merging with us, and how to recognize it, how it can help you heal, and some other aspects of that topic. First, I'd like to welcome to our show my co-host Natasha Scott, and Tina Godin will be joining us just momentarily. Hey, Natasha.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Oh, doing all right. Trying to survive this crazy winter weather down here.
I was going to say, what's your weather like right now? Is it pretty snowy?
No, today it was 71 degrees.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds lovely. None of that here.
It was actually very, very humid to the point that everything was wet. We didn't have rain.
Okay.
It was so humid, it was wet and overcast. But we just had snow 3 days ago.
Oh, my gosh, your weather is crazy. What is the temperature supposed to be around?
We should be, during February, we're usually like in the low 40s and below freezing at night. February is usually our real heavy winter month that we get the snowstorms. And I'm even seeing them in my memories coming up and stuff on Facebook. And I'm like, yeah, not this year, I don't think. Although last year we didn't get a snowstorm until the first week of April. So
don't
know. Yeah, but within this last week, we literally had a day that was 74 degrees, sunny and beautiful. 3 days later, you know, just not even 3 days, it was close to a week later, here we were having snow.
Wow.
And now we're back to
That's
71.
Crazy.
And we're supposed to
be
46 tomorrow. So who knows? You know, they say living in North Carolina is one of the places that you can have all seasons in one day.
Yeah, and that's hard on people's bodies, eh, when it jumps, like, so many degrees. When it's jumping, like, 50 degrees. Like, really? That's crazy. I think that's hard on the animals, too.
It is. It is. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be down below freezing in 2 days.
Hmm.
So, you know, and North Carolina is flu rampant right now. And we have been for about the last month. And it's because of this weather, up and down, up and down. And we're having a lot of rain, but we're not getting the deep freeze to kill the germs. So we're having this fun little roller coaster over here. It's like living with the Mother Nature in menopause.
Sounds about right.
She's like in perimenopause over here, having hot flashes and freezing and fun stuff like that.
Yeah, the weather is weird all over the planet from what I'm hearing, with leaning to either fires in Australia and the rest of the world is flooding.
Yeah.
You know, kind of one or the other.
Yeah, and that was their monsoon season, you know, and it wasn't quite monsoon weather.
No.
Yeah. I've been in a monsoon
toast to marshmallow weather. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very crazy.
And it's just a little bit nuts. My poor plants and trees, they're all starting to bloom. They're all starting to get their little buds for their leaves or their blooms that'll turn into flowers or fruit, like my little peach tree. She's out there getting her little flower buds, and that's what gives me peaches. Everybody's getting all their little, my magnolia tree is blooming.
Wow.
Like,
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's not time yet. It should be a couple more weeks for that, but that's what global warming does. Gives you the crazies. Yeah. So I know Tina will be joining us in a few minutes. She is running late today. But she did come up with quite an interesting topic for us tonight, and I'm excited for her to join in on this. Because even I was a little bit like, overshadow. What is overshadow? And I know you were...
we mean it in a positive way, not a negative way. So that's why I was liking the word merge. You know?
Yeah. And I think it's really an amazing experience the more that you get to have it. But it can definitely be a little bit confusing too. And there's our Tina. We'll bring her in. Come on, computer. Hey, Tina. Right on time.
Hello. How is everybody?
Hi, Tina.
Hi, Natasha.
Doing good.
How are you guys doing? Good.
Yeah, we're
crazy
doing
hectic
good.
Day.
Well, we're glad you got to make it.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Determined.
I'm like, that's it.
I gotta be done by this time.
Yeah, so we were just starting to address the topic tonight, and so perfect timing for you to pop in here. You want to lead us off about when spirit overshadows, because we know, you know, you had both Natasha and I going, which one is that? And then once you explained it, we were like, oh, yeah, now we get it. But I think this is a great topic, and it'll really help some people out there to understand this a little bit better.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because when we were talking earlier about the word overshadow, you know, it has the synonyms to that are negative, right? And it's, but yet it's not negative at all whatsoever. So it's more like a merging, right? But it's a little bit even deeper than that, though. So, for example, I mean, I've had a couple of experiences where, you know, like it happened with my dad. When my dad passed away, in 2012, about, I would say about a year after his passing, maybe even like closer to the 2-year mark, I was pulling up in front of the restaurant to get my takeout order, and out comes this man, and I mean, a spitting image of my father, and gets into the same kind of truck my father had, which was, you know, I'm like, I took a double look, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, what are the chances? I mean, he looked just like my father, the same mustache, the same way he styled his hair. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, and yes, this man looks like my dad. And he looked at me quickly and looked away, but it was that feeling of, you know, knowing that my dad was there, you know, I could feel them, I could sense them, and what spirit will do is merge with somebody else's energy and get into their energy field, and so what we're seeing with our eyes is this, like, replica of this, our loved one, right, and they can manipulate that, and so it's really interesting, because, you know, and yes, there are doppelgangers out there, right? But the fact that I was there in that moment, when you think about it, in that very moment, this man walked out in this just about the same exact vehicle as my father, the same color, you know, just a different year of the vehicle. And I knew that that was Spirit's way of communicating with me in that moment right there. And so, you know, overshadowing, merging, whatever that you really want to call it, it's just an amazing experience. And I know it's happened to a lot of people. You know, you've had that experience. So, and another one I had, it hasn't happened very often, but I definitely remember it in detail. And the other one that I had was when my fiance had passed away, and he loved motorcycles. In fact, we used to go for rides all the time. And, you know, about 2 months after his passing, I was driving on the road, and there was a motorcycle coming, you know, approaching me in the other lane on the other side, coming towards me. And I slowed down, he slowed down, because even from a far distance, the thought of him popped in my mind, you know. And I looked over, his visor was open, and he slowed down, I slowed down, probably because I was looking at him, maybe, I don't know, but his eyes, and that's what, it looked just like him, the eyes and everything, and mm-hmm. this man smiled at me, and I just was like, you know, you got to be kidding me, I cannot believe, you know, looked just like him, again, that same, was that him, you know, like, it, you know, it's not him, right, logically, but it was so, it looked so much like him that I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And, you know, again, that feeling that of, I know that, and this was the second occurrence, so my dad passed first, so I knew in that moment that this was happening again to me. And so, you know, I was really grateful, but it was pretty amazing. Have you guys had that experience at all?
Those are very amazing experiences. Wow. Well, there was something happened at work today. I was in the bathroom. I was doing my makeup. And then another girl came into the bathroom. And after she washed her hands and left, and then I finished my makeup and I went over to wash my hands, and there's three sinks. And I like to sometimes use the left sink, sometimes the middle, but I looked down at the left sink where she had been, and the bubbles in there made a perfect heart shape. So I used the middle sink, and then I went back to my desk and grabbed my cell phone to take a picture. And then I emailed her and I said, did you notice what the sink looked like when you were done? I said, take a look at this photo, and she took a look. She goes, no, I had no idea. She goes, that I was thinking about my brother that has passed on, and that his birthday is on Friday on Valentine's. So I was like,
beautiful.
Wow, this is quite the synchronicity with our show tonight. Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, that's their, you know, way of them, a spirit communicating as well. I mean, you know,
yes.
Showing heart shapes,
yes.
and whatnot, manipulating, there you go again, manipulating, you know, what is around. It's quite beautiful, and it's amazing
it
that, you know, yeah, it totally goes around our show, so there you go.
Yeah, I love that. I haven't had it so much with people as I've had it more with past pets, where I've seen one and had to do the double take because I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. And then I'd really look and I'm like, oh, no, okay. It's like growing up, we had two cats that you know, I wasn't real bonded with, but they were the family's cats, and one was a long-haired tortoiseshell, oh, goodness, blah, 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 blah. What the hell is the name? All of a sudden, it ran out of my head. Calico. She was a tortoiseshell, long-haired calico, and the other one was a short-haired calico. Patches and Fit-Fit. They were wonderful hunters, and each one used to sleep in one of the girls' bedrooms because there was four girls, so two in each room, and we had big beds, so the cats would always come and sleep with us. And I haven't seen them in, like, ages, okay, because they had passed away when we left Connecticut and went to Florida. But there's been many times over the years that Patches and Fit-Fit have shown themselves to me through another animal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing that whole thing of seeing them and being like, damn, that looks just like, you know, and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
And then you look away for a minute, and then you look back, and you're like, oh, you don't look like them at all. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, but it's that moment that they grab you, and you're like, oh, my God, you look just like, and then I'm like, oh, no, you're not. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. I know it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
My dad does it with inanimate objects for me. I'll see red. All of a sudden, it'll be like the door is white, and then the door is red. And then I look again, and the door is back to white. And I'm like, okay. All right. Thanks, Dad.
That's cool.
You know, because he went by the name of Red in his life. So now his thing all the time is to show me red doors.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So they can mix it up for you. And I find that always interesting because you just never know, you know, until it happens in that moment. And then you realize, okay, no, I'm not crazy. I know I just saw that. Or you know you just saw that person, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen it with animals, too. So it's funny you mention that. I've seen it with my lab. And I had two labs a while back, Tucker and Lola. So Tucker was a black lab and Lola was a chocolate lab. And Lola was a female, and she was a tiny little thing, and she was just all over the place, very, very hyper. And Tucker was a big guy. And, but, you know, they both loved the water. They both loved jumping in the water after a stick. You throw a stick in the lake and they'd be running, you know, to go after it. And I was up at the camp. My mom has a camp. And I was up there visiting her. And I used to take my dogs to the camp and let them go swimming in the lake. And so this one summer I went up there and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, I looked over, it was just like them. And again, that double take of, oh my gosh. And there was two of them, you know, identical. Black lab, bigger male, small female. And, you know, from a distance, it, you know, I looked twice, wow, it looks just like them. And as I got closer, they didn't look, you know, you could tell the difference at that moment. But they were doing the identical, you know, jump after the stick into the lake. They both played the same. I mean, the mannerisms were the same. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know. And I was, you know, and I felt so good. I mean, although I missed them terribly, I knew that in that moment, again, and I wasn't supposed to show up that day, which was really, really funny. But I ended up going early. And in that moment, there I was. There they were. And I never saw them again at the camp, at the lake. I never saw these dogs again that weekend that I was there. But it was pretty amazing to me. So I knew that, you know, I needed to see that. I needed to have that connection again with my creatures. So it was good. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Have either of you had this happen, either the client seeing it or you feeling it when you've been doing healing work or doing a reading?
Yeah, I've had this both.
I have too.
What was that like?
Yeah, what was that like?
I have two. So. I have two. I'll raise my hand. All three of us have in a different way, but I'd love to hear you guys talk about it.
With me, I was doing a healing on a client, and I always smell a really gorgeous, otherworldly floral smell, right, when I'm doing a healing. But that time in particular, I was also smelling wood burning. And I'm like, why on earth am I smelling wood burning? But it was a nice smell. It's almost like a bonfire smell. And this particular client, like, her mom died in a fire. So I think her mom was, like, present while I was doing the healing on her. I think that's what happened. And that's never happened before. So it really stood out.
Yeah.
So
love
that's
that.
What happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as, like, with spirit, and this just happened last weekend to me. It was funny. It's funny how it happened, and the client laughed, thankfully. But her grandfather had come through pretty strongly, I may say. And one of the things he was showing me, and I didn't even realize I was doing this. I was fidgeting in my seat. I was sitting down while I was giving this reading, and I kept pulling up my pants, and I kept tugging it, like, at my pants and pulling them up and being fidgety, and and I didn't realize I was doing it until finally, after a few moments, I realized I was doing it, so I had to say, I've got to tell you, this is something that your grandfather would do, because I'm literally keep pulling up my pants. I keep, and then I'm fiddling with my fingertips on my lap and just kind of, like, tapping my fingers on my, and I never do that, And so she laughed and she says, yes, his pants would always fall down. He always had, I think I can say this on live air, right, plumber's butt. And I just said, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And I didn't realize I was doing it. And then the finger tapping was like just a little tick that he had that he would always do. So the mannerisms were there. So it was pretty amazing. And he laughed. He laughed about it because, at the time I was like, God, I hope that her grandfather did this, because I'm really uncomfortable right now. What is happening?
Yeah, there's been moments that I've had things like that happen in a session. And you're feeling it happening, and you're kind of like, no control of your own motor movements. It's just happening. And then you're like, why am I doing this? And I've had it happen where I'd be on camera. I do a lot of sessions by Skype, so they're where, they see me and everything, and I'll be like, I have my eyes closed and I'm just channeling the information, and they're getting closer and closer, and I'll notice all of a sudden I'm like doing a slouch, and my hands are doing, I talk a lot with my hands, I'm very French, you want to shut me up, tie my hands behind my back or make me sit on them and I can't speak, right, but all of a sudden I'll be like, my hands are down and real calm, and I'm like, who is this? This is not me. You're not in this moment that, like, you're talking about something and your speech completely changes. I have that happen a lot, where suddenly I am speaking in a different accent.
Wow.
And the words might be, and it, I don't realize it in the moment until I kind of, like, come out of it. And I'll be hearing the echo in my head, and I'm kind of like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have things come out that you never would have said But then your client is looking at you and going, my dad would have said that exact same thing. He used to say that in life. And you're like, okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that resonated because
yeah.
I never would have said that. But they get so close and so merged with you that it just like overtakes your, and it's not a, not the same as trance channeling when you're letting them into your body. It's just that merge that's like just enough that whew, their mannerisms, their speech, different things come out that you're in the moment, and but your client is just like jaw hanging open going,
yeah,
that's my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for our listeners, I mean, this happens to everybody, not just people like us that are working with their abilities. You know?
Yeah.
I think we end up, I think for a lot of people who aren't used to working with spirit in the fashion, you know, that we've all developed into, when you're just tapping into your spirituality or you're just trying to, you know that they're around and everything, these things will happen and that left brain comes up and it talks you out of it. That wasn't real. You didn't really see that. You're just missing them today. You know?
Yeah.
But it is a real phenomenon. It is a real thing that spirit will do for us. You know?
I think it's helpful because then people don't have to think, you know, this person passes on and that's it. Or an animal passes on or that's it. Because it's never that's it. There's always more.
There's always
and it's comforting.
More. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, even like my grandfather would always say, no, he passed away. I was all, we're talking over, I would say, I don't know, 37 years ago now. Close to that. But he would always say, hold the fort. One of his favorite sayings, and he would say it to me, hold the 14, you know? And out of the blue sometimes, and I'm not meaning to connect to him or anything like that, but I'll get that thought or I'll say it out loud without even, it's just automatic, you know? It happened to me with my daughters, and I looked at them and I'm like, hold the fort, you know? And I knew, you know, I was like, oh, my goodness, he's here, you know, because it's not something I normally say. But, yeah, and this happens to everybody. You'll say something will come out without any prompting or anything like that. It's just very free-flowing, natural. And, you know, you wonder, where did this come from? And it's your loved one. You know, they're merging with you, your energy, and it's pretty wild. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we tend to, you know, brush it off often because, you know, it's we end up making all these excuses in our mind as to, you know, why it could have been. You know, oh, that was, I was just, you know, it was just a moment. But the more that we pay attention, the more we can actually realize this spirit, it are connecting to us in those moments. And the more that we acknowledge it, the more active it becomes as well, as long as we're comfortable with it.
Right.
Yeah. And they'll use all different kinds of things to do this. You know, you might be in the bathroom and you're getting your child ready for school and doing their hair, and suddenly you see this glimpse in the mirror that the reflection was like a quick moment of a loved one instead of the child. But we all tune it out and go, no, you know, we go, nah, we didn't see that. No, that wasn't real. I need more coffee this morning. Mom's not awake. No, that really is spirit connecting with you in that moment, you know. You may have a loved one in spirit who, as a child, resembled them, or they're just trying to shift your vision enough to get you to realize that, hey, I am right here. I am trying to tell you I'm right here helping you.
Yeah,
very true.
Yeah.
I think spirit will use anything, right? It'll use objects, animals, other people. What has it used for you guys that was unusual?
Most unusual. I'm gonna have to think on that one for a moment.
Yeah. Well,
or even when there's like you know, a situation, and it just happens with a stranger. They just say the right thing at the right moment that you needed to hear. And they think they've just said something, you know, like a regular thing, and it's just the perfect thing you needed.
That's right. They do that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that comes to my mind, and this happened, it happens less, well, I guess my awareness isn't that's the thing. If your awareness is on something, you know, you see more of it, right?
Yeah.
When Chris first passed, I used to, well, one of the things he had said to me when he was here on Earth was, if I die before you, right, he says, I'm going to give you heart clouds and things in the clouds, because we used to cloud watch all the time. And so after he passed, of course, I was looking at the clouds, right? And then I have photos of really, unbelievable, I guess, photos of, you know, not just heart clouds, but I love you. I even saw Amen. And I do have a picture. It's in my personal Facebook, of a cloud image of a face that Chris had a crooked smile, and I could see the face in the clouds, and it looks just like him. And next to him is a formation of a German Shepherd, and his German Shepherd had passed before him. And so it's a pretty amazing photo, because I do connect to that. And, it's something that back then when he first passed, I was like, wow, I cannot believe I'm seeing this with my own eyes. And I thought I was seeing things, you know, because you're in that trauma in the beginning and the grief and all of that. And I asked everybody around me, do you see this? Do you see what I'm seeing? You know, and they did too. And I went to his mother, and we blew up the photo, and she has a copy as well. And she couldn't, you know, she saw it, and she's like, that is unbelievable. And it was pretty intense. She, you know, she could see it herself and connect to that herself. So I wasn't the only one that had connected to that, right? And then I would just see, you know, I see hearts everywhere. And I think, and it's definitely from, you know, my loved ones in spirit. And and my guides, and I will. I'll see a leaf that has a heart shape on it, and it's just, you know, and like you mentioned that it's happened to me in the shower where the soap, you know, you're rinsing the soap off your hair, and you look down at the drain, and there's a heart, right, with the soap, and it happens, so it's and even in my coffee, it's happened with the creamer, and I've looked down, and I can see a heart, you know, foaming at the top of my coffee, so
I had a happy face in my orange juice one time. I took a picture of it. It was so unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, Tina.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that, you know, to that degree since. But I was really grateful to have that experience.
Yeah. Amazing.
We need all those kinds of things down here because they can get challenging down here.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you know how we are in soul form? Oh, I can do that, no problem. And then you get here and you're like, holy shit, what did I sign up for?
So true. I've said that many times. And
what's
I just
happening?
Laugh. Like, yeah, it's a great show. We're loving it. And you're like,
I've even argued with my guides, you know, and I said to them, why would I do this? Why would I sign up for this? This doesn't make any sense.
This is not something I would sign up for. You guys made a mistake. I know you did.
Oh, no.
Yeah. My mom caught me doing that one time. I was about 7 years old, and we had a horse farm of quarter horses, and we had just had the first birth. And her little foal, little female, and her name was Ginger. And when Ginger was 4 days old, she got kicked in the side, right past the front leg in the ribs, and it killed her. And I remember everybody flipping out and us running out to the barn, you know, and she had gotten hit so hard that it popped one of her eyes out. And I remember seeing her, even though my parents were trying to keep me away because I was the youngest, but I saw her. And I got so upset and angry. And my mom found me in her bedroom, on her bed. My mom used to be Catholic, so she still had a picture of Jesus above her bed. And she found me in there yelling at this picture. I'm like 7 years old, and I was yelling at him, why did you make me come down here again? Why did I have to come here? It hurts too much. I don't want to be here. And my mom was just like, are you okay? You know?
Oh, my.
Because I'm just ranting at this photo about why I had to be here. And she, at the time, she wasn't, you know, she hadn't even started to explore spirituality. She was gone from the church, but she hadn't even looked into anything spiritual yet. But she said it really made her stop in her tracks in the moment because I was so angry and so adamant, and I was yelling at that picture about making me come here. And I didn't want to be here because it hurt too much to be here. And it took me a long time to remember that incident. I always remembered Ginger's passing, but I had, like, blocked out that cussing him out until I was, like, 30. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember. Oh, yeah, I sure did do that, didn't I?
So how old were you when you were doing all that?
I was 7.
Wow.
That's 7. Yeah. And I was 7 at the time, because the year later we ended up having a couple more foals born, because the other mares had just gotten pregnant, and we ended up having 3 more foals come after her. But that first one, that one ripped me up, that I was just yelling about having to come here.
Oh dear.
I didn't want to be here. So pay attention to your kids and your grandchildren. If they're yelling stuff out like that, there's a memory there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. But it's really a blessing, the more that we're able to acknowledge when spirit's really, you know, giving the images, whether it's you're watching a TV show and suddenly the actor is looking like your loved one, and then it poofs on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really trust that it's them. Same thing as in dreams. You know, they work so hard at trying to connect to us because we're in such a dense, you know, we're like in the dense forest. And they're outside of the forest yelling at us, going, "Hey, we're over here. Woohoo." You know, and you're down in the evergreens in the meat of the forest just going, "Oh, I know there's a sound out there. I can't find it." You know, it really takes a lot for them to punch through it. And, you know, we know a lot of people, they miss their loved ones when they pass. And there's a lot of sadness that goes with that, that we have to, we experience here. But, boy, they work so hard to let us know that they're still right there with us if we can just pay more attention to it.
Very true.
Shut the brain up sometime, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Because, like, for you, Tina, with the guy on the motorcycle, I mean, what a precious moment.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
I'll never forget it. Never forget the way it felt. I mean, it was shocking, you know, that initial, like, took my breath away. Feeling,
mm-hmm.
And then it was comforting. You know, it definitely was comforting. It wasn't saddened at all in either of the circumstances that I spoke about tonight. It never felt sad. It always felt peaceful, and you know, it just gave me that boost of wow, there is more. They are here. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You imagine someone who isn't aware of spirit having that moment, how much they would doubt themselves. And it does make you a little, feel like you're a little crazy.
Oh, for sure.
Spirit has
a
way of making you feel like you're questioning your sanity.
Yes.
You know?
It does.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing, and I'll share this real quick with you guys and the listeners, is when this all happened, his passing was extremely sudden, unexpected. And so I ended up joining a grief support group. I had to figure this out, right? And I don't think losing my dad, I felt that grief too, but it's different. Every loss is different. The grief is different. And so I for this one, I decided to join a grief support group. And right away,
I would say about a month after his passing, if not even sooner, I could hear him, I could feel him, I could, you know, I was seeing shadow things in the corners of my eyes, and even like, it looked like, you know, I felt like somebody was in the room, but then I felt like nobody was there, that kind of feeling, you know, things like that, I remember, and boy, did I think I was losing it, you know, then the cloud picked, you know, the cloud formations, my TV going off and all the other things we talked about. And I really did think for a moment I was, must be losing it. It's got to be the trauma. And there's that logical mind, right? And I joined a grief support group, which was one of the best things I could do. And I ended up hooking up with a therapist, a grief therapist, to process my grief and work through it. And the therapist, you know, I was really afraid to tell her what my experiences were. You know, I was afraid of that judgment, afraid of I was going crazy, just fear. And she made me feel so comfortable, and I was able to let her know what was happening. And I'll never forget it. And she looked at me, and she said, welcome, you know, to rediscovering yourself, and welcome to awakening. And I looked at her and I said, what? I said, you know, you got to be kidding me. And she says, oh, I'm a Reiki master and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Reiki master? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And it was the perfect person to, you know, to hook up with. And I, you know, it was amazing because I knew that, you know, again, spirit directed me to this particular person in this particular, you know, way, and it opened up even more. So that fear of being judged or feeling crazy, she was so helpful in helping me to understand my authentic self. You know, everything that I was going through was absolutely normal, and that there was more, and that's what started my journey. And that's how my journey started really to unfold was that. But yeah, it was pretty amazing, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. And you're right, a lot of people do get that fear of, if I go to the counselor, I can't tell them about this crazy stuff that's going on, you know, and it's natural, you know, we get protective, and it's kind of like, because it really does make you question your sanity, you know, it does.
Yeah.
But the more that you're able to talk to people that are open to hearing it, you can end up finding out you're actually pretty sane. There's a lot of us out there that are having spirit be very active, you know, and very present in our lives. And it's, I find that that has become more rewarding and helping me navigate and stay here through the tough times than I think any of the other things that I could have learned or studied about.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It helps us to make sense of our reality.
Yes. Yes, very much so. You just have to, you know, tune out the people that keep telling you that, you know, you have a mental health issue. If you don't have a mental health issue and spirit is, like, in your face with stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You got to begin to trust it or reach out to other people that might have had similar experiences to find out that, oh, hey, okay, I'm not losing my mind. Other people have had similar happen, and you can find out tools that they used that work for them, and one of them might be good for you.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for for me too, what helped. So not only, you know, the grief support group therapy, expanding my circle and my friendship. And, you know, I found, you know, and I still have these friendships to this day, you know, professionals that are doing this work. I mean, doctors, lawyers, you know, just child therapists, or, you know, and it's to see them. I think I needed back then to see that they're normal, right? They have normal jobs. These people are professionals, yet they're mediums or healers. And it normalized for me because I think I needed to have that understanding back then. Now I don't feel that way, but back then I needed to feel normal. So then I needed to see that other people were normal that did this work, right, that felt like me or feel like me. And I needed, for me, that's what I needed to see, and Spirit definitely put those people in my life for that reason. And it's amazing because my perception of all of this was based on belief systems that I had growing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a religion that I was involved in, you know, growing up. And so I had to really look at that and say, oh, what are my own belief systems? And I had to work through that as well. And you know, figure that all out. So it's like relearning who I am. And, you know, so it's not crazy. It's not like that at all. And most people, I would say that I'm really close with and know that do this work are, well, all of them are the most, you know, beautiful, loving, kind, compassionate, normal, fun, authentic people. And, you know, so to have that model or to have that association really has helped me to develop to my abilities as well, because I could kind of let that fear go or let that, you know, stigma go of what this is and why we do it and, you know, how we do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. What do you think, Natasha, with your healing stuff especially? I'm curious.
Well, during the healings, it seems people definitely line up with what they need to experience, because in one of the healings, this is a healing I was doing on a friend, but he ended up having a conversation with his dad that had passed away. And that happened during the healing. And I was like, wow. And that was very helpful and healing for him. So,
oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, unexpected, right? Like, I don't go into a healing thinking or knowing anything like that is going to occur, but then when it does and it really helps that person, that's just what that person needed in that moment. Probably answered questions, because we all hit points in our life where we have more questions than answers.
Yes.
Oh.
So true. So true.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that with energy healing, so many unexpected things can happen, like when I smelt the wood burning and, you know, that situation. And yeah, I've had a lot of different experiences. Also, when I do healings on people, they it can happen the same day, and it can also happen in the following week or two. They also have abilities open up for them. So I think they had those abilities all along, but they were somehow blocking themselves from accessing it. And they will come and tell me about the abilities that they're now accessing. And that is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Those are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys have happen when you do? Have you had any weird things like that during energy healing?
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting this.
Big time. When I worked on my oldest daughter, after in 2013, oh boy, that was a hell of a year. She was 21. Her boyfriend was murdered 7 days after his 23rd birthday, and then the next month. And I've talked about this on air several different times, but I haven't talked about this incident that happened. So he died June 7th. July 4th, their dog died. August 4th, the kitten he gave her on his birthday the week before his death passes away. And mm-hmm. so I had been working on my daughter several different times, doing Reiki, incorporating crystal work. I had her doing journaling and all of this stuff going on. And I'll tell you about two different incidences. One, she finally agreed to let me do a hands-on Reiki session on her. And so I had different healing crystals out with her on the table and everything like that. And I finally get to the last position, and I'm at the bottom of her feet. And that's usually when I would really, by that point, you know, I'm like really heavy in the energy and just got stuff flowing through, and I'd get visuals sometimes. And so I'm kneeled down at her feet with my hands on the soles of her feet, and I'm just breathing out and breathing out. And suddenly I started to smell smoke. But it wasn't like regular fire smoke. It had this real kind of tang to it, you know, kind of like when you're using charcoal bricks in a barbecue. And I'm smelling it, and I'm kind of like, okay. And I said, show me what that's about. And they showed me underneath the table was this large dragon. No shit. Shocked the hell out of me.
Wow.
But there was this massive dragon curled up under the table. And he kept breathing smoke out of his nostrils into the energy. And I was just like, whoa. So, you know, I'm like asking the guys, is this friend or foe? Because I'm a little freaked out. And they're like, just breathe through it. This is one of her guides. And this is his presentation. And I was just like, okay, all right. We're just going to keep on going, you know, and I'm like, and this big, and I had to keep going until the smoke stopped. They literally kept me there until he, like, settled down and the smoke smell stopped, and then I heard him go, okay, you can take your hands off now, and I was like, whoa, wow. I have never seen something like that before visually in my head. I mean, it was gorgeous. Scary, but gorgeous. And I'm like, okay.
That's amazing.
All right.
That's amazing.
You know? It's just kind of like,
I love that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, about a month later, I finally got her to do a guided meditation. And I was like, you know, honey, it's time. You know, you're ready for this. It's time for you to ask to see him in spirit, not the dragon, the boyfriend. And, you know, for her age, she was just kind of like, this ain't going to work, Mom, you know. Mm-hmm. But I got her to do it, and I walked her in, and next thing, she's laid on the couch, and suddenly I see my daughter go, and tears just started coming down her cheeks. And so I just kept holding the space, and then, you know, we gave him a few minutes, and then I brought her back out, and I said, you know, so what happened? And she was like, oh, my God, Mom, he came. He actually showed up to the point that I hugged him, and it was physical. And I said, baby, did you start to cry? And she says, yeah, Mom, I did. I couldn't help it. I just hugged him and held on, and I couldn't help but start to cry. And all he did was he kept talking me through it and telling me, it's okay now. She goes, and it was funny because he was wearing a white motorcycle vest. She's like, yeah, show up looking like no angel, which he wasn't in life. You know, he was the bad boy. She's like, but he showed up and he was wearing this white vest and he looked all clean and fixed up and not hurt. She said, but Mom, the physicalness of it was what really startled her. And she looked at me and she said, Mom, was that really real? And I said, yeah, baby, it was real. And that was like the moment that shifted her healing.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then after that, I mean, she would see dogs that looked like Pegasus, and she would see, you know, different representations of her boyfriend and stuff, doing that merge thing, the overshadow. But it wasn't hurtful anymore. Now it was like, oh, God, I saw somebody look just like him, you know?
Yeah.
It changed those moments. And it still does to this day. You know?
What a healing experience.
Yeah. It was a trip. I've done Reiki on a lot of different people because I used to use it a lot in my massage career, and I would incorporate it into sessions. And, you know, you'd get glimpses of different things and stuff, but I had never had something like that happen. Talk about feeling a little insane when the spirit's showing you this massive dragon and you're like, is that real? And they're like, yeah.
What color was the dragon you were seeing?
He had like a opalized blue.
Ooh,
type
pretty.
Of scales.
Yeah.
And what was those other markings on him? He had like these gold tips that I could
see. Very beautiful.
But it was the one and only time I have ever seen something like that in a healing that just, and I know, I mean, it was a really intensive session as it was, because I had worked for about a good hour and a half on her, and we were just in that moment, and oh my gosh. Like, but they were like, yeah,
that's amazing.
Real. It's real. It's a guardian. Yeah.
You know how you had a dragon in that healing? I only had one healing like that, where a different, you know, magical being. This other girl I did a healing on, I just asked her, how did it go? So I had no idea. And then she told me all about how she connected with the unicorn people. And, you know, they were there to talk to her about all kinds of things, and it was amazing. And she had no idea she was connected to the mermaid, unicorn people, like the unicorn beings.
Yeah.
She had lives with them, and it was a really amazing experience for her. I pretty much could write a book on some of the things that have happened with these healings.
Oh, I'm sure.
I definitely could. I probably have enough material. I record everything because in case I do want to write a book down the road.
Good. Good. Yeah.
Obviously not going to use their names, but their experiences are pretty amazing.
Yeah, you really never know who's going to show up.
Yeah.
I know it.
You really don't. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Are you doing more healings now, Tina?
I am.
Getting
I
more
am.
Into that side?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything. Like, I haven't had anything like to that degree happen. But what I will, it's a lot of times I get a lot of visuals just because my main clair is clairvoyance. And I get a ton of visuals that happen, and it's just, I don't know, it's just how it works for me, I guess. And when a client, like one of my clients had to come in, I was just talking about this with somebody, and it happened in a mediumship reading, and it also happened in a healing. And so the client had come in, and, you know, normally I would shake their hand, right, hello, introduce myself, and shake their hand. And when I would shake their hand, I didn't realize I was even doing it. I was not even aware I was doing it. It was kind of like I would put that, like, lock up for some reason. You know, not knowing why. It was just, you know, a natural thing for me to do. I guess I've done it all my life, right? And so since we absorb a lot of energy through our hands and feet, when my client had come in, I said, oh, you know, do you need to use the restroom? And the client did, and she washed her hands. And when she came back, I then shook her hand. But this time, I didn't have that block. And when I did that, I picked up, and just by touching her hand, so it's kind of like a form of psychometry, but it's with her hands, instant visuals. And I was like, whoa, wow, I can't believe I just, you know, it was like boom, 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 really quick. And when I did the healing session on her, so much more information had come through for me, you know, it with the visuals, and it was pretty powerful. I have to say, when I do hands-on, I get more information. So it's pretty wild. And other times I've had, you know, angels come through, loved ones come through, archangels come through. I just, you know, and I get into the session, and in the time, it flies by. I can't believe how quickly it's like I've been there 5 minutes maybe working on the person. But it's unbelievable what does come through and who comes through. So it's pretty wild. But I haven't had the dragon experience or anything like that. I don't know, Shannon. I think I would have freaked out. I would have been like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe there's a reason why you're telling me this story. Not that I think it's
You have a dragon show up during your healing or reading sessions. Don't freak out. Just keep rolling with it.
Oh, my gosh.
But I agree with you. I like the hands-on much more than when I do it via distance. I tend to get more intense visuals when I have the person present in front of me.
Me too, yeah. And I used to do more distance, right? And this is, this is, you know, and even with readings in person, it's a little bit different.
because I'm touching their hand or I'm giving them a hug. There's that physical, you know, connection, I guess. And I receive sensory information. I pick up on it stronger, clairvoyantly, which is, it's just really neat to me. Not that phone readings and distance sessions aren't as powerful and as good, but for me as the receiver, I just get more information, I feel.
Yeah.
That's just my experience. Yeah. Lately, that's what I found it.
Yeah. Do you find the same, Natasha?
I don't get the visual.
In person versus distance.
No, I don't. Because what I'm doing is I'm already working on visualizations while I'm doing a healing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be picturing that person in vibrant health. I'll be picturing some other things. So no, I don't get visuals. Yeah. I'm so focused on sending out the energy that I'm not aware of energy coming to me very much. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Distance, I
but
do
you guys
do
both
astral
talk
travel.
To your guides, too. I don't talk to my guides directly. You guys talk to your guides directly, and then you both have the visual stuff. I don't have that. Not yet, anyway.
It's coming.
I was just about
probably.
To say, I'm like,
Yeah, it's coming. And yeah, I do. I do talk to my guides directly, you know. And you'll hear me say Ezra and Preta, you know, or if I'm doing some kind of writing, even the poetry I do is not me. To me, it's much more Preta that comes in and is like, let's write. And I'm like, okay, here we go. You know. And it's become, you know, in the beginning, I used to be very worshipful, I guess the word would be, of them. You know, I was really like in awe when I first started really connecting with my guides, and I would see them in meditation, and, you know, when they would give me names to refer them by, and I was very much in awe of them, and so I would always, like, see them as so much, I guess, more than myself.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know,
here.
In the beginning when Ezra started to present himself, he used to give me this old man look. And it was always very stern, you know. And Preta, when she first came in for me, she was like the school marm from hell with the tight hair and the wanting to slap me with a ruler on the hands, you know. And I was just like, yes, yes, okay, I'm listening. But now, over the years, I got to the point that I was like, why am I doing this? These are like, you know, these are supposed to be the souls that I trusted the most for this. I know we've worked together for a while, so why am I putting them on a pedestal? And the more that I was into my spiritual journey and doing the healing work on myself and everything, that relationship, I started to change it and become more playful with them and joke and tease them. And so I call them by name and I give them crap. And yes, yeah, sometimes I cuss them out, you know. I get very specific with them these days, you know, and I'll be like, because Ezra likes to mess with me, and
yeah.
Preta's much more the work, you know, let's get down to business, and Ezra's gotten more playful and likes to tease me and pull pranks and stuff, so it's been nice to have that change, but I no longer have that putting them up above myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've shifted them to instead be like my comrades in arms, you know. It's like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys, we're going.
Well, that's what I've heard. Like, even spiritual teachers will, like, argue with their guides.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you're not necessarily, because at the end of the day, I've heard that they're just like people, but just a little more advanced than people.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
my friend Rich Martini. Go ahead, Tina.
Oh, no, go ahead. You go.
I was going to say, my friend Rich Martini, he tells a story often in his IANS talks, which is the International Afterlife Society, and he tells a story of his LBL, and he goes in front of his council, and they were like, he was like, you know, well, why did I pick Rich? You know, he was like, and they said, well, you're a healer, and you know, he chose to be a storyteller in Hollywood to bring healing to people, and he was just kind of like, well, I wish I could have done a better job of it, but, you know, okay. And they were like, no, 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 you're doing good, you're doing good. But he was still like, really? You know? And now this relationship is formed that he's always teasing and joking with him about why he picked this character to be here as, that he's not done very good at what he set out to do. He always makes me laugh when he's like, they all looked at me and said, well, you picked them. You know, he's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did I do that? Yeah. But, like, you know how you guys speak directly to your guys? I just watch the signs that I see and listen to my intuition. But I can feel my angels and guides literally touching me, so they'll pat me on the hand
mm-hmm.
sometimes and all that. And if I'm having a thought or if there's a situation happening, so they're still guiding me. And then they, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I get the humming in the ear, and then I'm like, thank you very much. Let me know what that meant later. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell you're saying right now. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you more direct, Tina, with your guides?
Oh, yeah.
Call them out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the beginning, I did the same as you. I thought they were, you know, well, my main guide, Michael, you know, he's just wiser than I am. You know, he's at least that's, well, he is very wise. I shouldn't say that. But I just, very serious is how I always, you know, would talk to him, very serious. And it wasn't until I would say about a good year ago when I started meditating more to connect with my guide daily, you know, while I was going through my training. There was so much meditation, and so there was so much communication with your guide. And I learned that, man, he has a sense of humor. It's actually very funny. And that made me feel really comfortable. And again, plays tricks on me for sure. Definitely gets my attention when I'm not paying attention. And this funny thing, and I know that I can hear his laugh, so I know it's him, you know. And I ended up developing a definitely closer bond, a trust, a closer, you know, everything. And it opened up my eyes that, you know, like you said, Natasha, they're people just like us, right? And we chose them, so. So And I've developed that, and I didn't do that before where it was so much communication, and now it's just what I do every day. I, you know, communicate with my guys every day, you know, more than once a day, all the time. It's just natural now. You know, where before it just wasn't making that those connections all the time, and now it's become, it's just habitual, it's just natural. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. I like it. I love being able to just be like, hey. You know? So I can be specific and be like, hey, Ezra, I need you. Come here. We got to talk. It gives that comfort level, you know, where you're just kind of like, okay, I know who's got my back, you know.
Yeah.
And it, whether you have names for them or not, you know, like Natasha doesn't have names for her, but she knows their feeling. She knows their sensation
right.
when they're connecting, you know. And for anybody that's out there listening, if you want to know your guides, start asking for those things, you know. When I first started working with Ezra, and I used to be like, okay, so how can I know it's you? Give me something to connect. And I didn't have a name for him yet, you know, but I was like, give me something. And he would always touch the calf of my left leg. I'd get sensations there every time it was him. And then it'd be like, okay, so I know that I can now put those two together and be like, okay, when Ezra's responding to me, I feel that sensation in that area.
Yeah.
You know? They'll give you stuff to work with. We just have to, you know, be paying attention and ask for it, too.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will tell
you,
they're really funny on the name.
Hearing them. Sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
Say that again, Natasha. Go ahead.
How do you get to the level where you can literally hear them?
Mm.
Yeah. That, I mean, I've always been clairaudient too. So, but you can develop your clairaudience by there's different things, many different things that you can do to heighten your clairaudience. So the more I heightened my clairaudience, the clearer it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's that, again, that trusting that it's not the voice in your head, you know. After
right.
a while, it just doesn't, it's not my voice anymore. He has a distinct voice. There's, I guess, the more that you practice and the more that you have these conversations with your guides, the more you can hear, the more you know what I mean? You hear the tone, it's different.
Yeah.
You hear, it becomes just so natural. I think the more you practice, I know from my experience,
mm-hmm.
the more I talk to them and the more I practice, the better I can hear.
So does it still
yeah.
sound like a thought, just not your thought?
No. He has his own voice, male voice. It's deep, baritone, not my
okay.
thoughts.
Okay,
yeah.
okay. So it is literally a different voice. Okay.
Literally a different voice.
Yeah, and I'd say that comes with the practice.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree, Tina? It comes, you get
yeah.
to hear their voice more that you practice and realize. It's like for me, I hear it more like, it's in my middle ear or inner ear than an outer ear voice. And it's like the words are being shoved. The best way I could describe it, it's like the words are getting shoved from behind me into my ear.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah, okay.
You know, it's like say you ask a question and it's before my own brain can formulate a thought to answer, the words are already being shoved in your mind. And you can tell, like, and I'm not sure if it's the same for you, Tina, as it is for me, but I find that they use a lot of words and language that I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely
You know, I prefer
yeah.
to speak more layman, and they'll be just like giving you stuff, and you're like, okay, all right. I wouldn't have said it that way, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, but it's before your brain even has the opportunity to really formulate the response that you're ready to give, but the words are already showing up.
Okay,
yeah.
I did have that happen to me at the market. And I could hear a voice talking to me behind me. That's what made what you said there stood out, Shannon. I had that.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I was with my mom and Ryan. I'm like, Ryan, were you talking to me? He's like, no. And I'm like, what is going on? Because it happened a few times. Now, I could hear a man speaking clearly, but not loud enough.
Yeah.
So we were at the market, so it was noisy as well, right? It's
right.
Like, yeah, don't come and talk to me when I'm in my room and it's quiet. Come and talk to me at the market. Where it's pandemonium. Thank you very much.
Yeah, one of the trainings we had to do was sit in silence for a day, a full day. Silence.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what, you start to, and we did this a couple of times, a couple exercises like this, and you really do pick up because you're not answering the phone. I mean, you're not, the TV's not on, silence.
Right.
No one can talk
right.
to you. It's pure silence, and it was a great exercise to practice. And the other thing we did was we had to listen to music, and we had to pick up on the instruments, you know, and different things about the instruments that we didn't, you know, let's say it was a popular song and we've always heard, we had to really listen to all the musical instruments. And once you start tuning into the sounds, the different sounds, it's training for that clairaudience and picking up different sounds. It was really, really neat.
That's very cool. I like that. I will try that just to
mm-hmm.
sit very quietly and try that.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
It's happened
so
to me before.
Once it starts coming
so
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there.
Sorry, Shannon. Go
I
ahead.
Use the visual of a volume knob as well.
Ooh, I like that.
When
yeah.
I was practicing. Yeah. And because at first, you know, it is hard. It's getting that, you know, that frequency to clear up, just like you're fine-tuning on a radio station. And it was in the middle of a guided meditation that I was given the information. They were like, use a volume knob. And I was kind of like, what? You're crazy. You know, no way. But I started practicing with it because my mentor was like, well, they gave you the information. Why don't you just try it? Like, oh, yeah, like, you know, this is really going to work. But it did actually work the more that I started to trust and believe that this was possible to work. And so when I would be in that moment and be real quiet and everything and ask them, you know, to talk to me, and I'd ask, like, simple questions that I could at least get, like, a yes-no first to try to hear. And I started visualizing using a volume knob that I was able to turn it up a couple notches and it would become louder.
Yeah.
And eventually it worked.
Okay. All right.
That's awesome.
I will do that too.
I love that.
Thank you for the tip.
There's one more thing that, and I'll never forget this one too. So one of the trainings was to sit out in nature. Sit out there for a few hours, right? Obviously it wasn't cold at the time, but it's comfortable weather. So I'm out there and we needed to pick up on the sound of what was around us in nature. And as you were tuning in and honing in on the sound, the sound that would come in at the distance start coming in clearer. I could literally hear, you know, the owl at the end of the street. And the more that you practice this, if you sit outside in nature and you just really listen in on the sounds, it gets louder and louder and louder. You know, it's really wild. And it's
wow.
such great practice, and that will also help you build your clairaudience as well.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we have hit 9:30.
Time just started to fly when we're talking about how to communicate with your guides.
Like, what?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, how about we share our contact info, and then we can wrap it up for the night.
Sounds good.
Natasha,
okay,
you want to lead us off?
Sure. My website's healingthroughintuition.wordpress.com. I was going to say, you know, I do energy healing, palmistry reading, happiness coaching, and angel card readings, and also I now make custom gemstone bracelets, and I infuse them with love and healing.
Yay.
That's it.
Okay. Awesome. Dina?
Yeah, I'm here. My website is messagesofcomfort.com, and I do psychic and mediumship readings in person and online, and also Reiki sessions in person and online. And you can find me on Facebook under Tina Godin.
Awesome. And I'm Shannon Johnson. You can find me on Facebook at Shannon Johnson, Metaphysical Facilitator and Medium. I'm also an author now. You can scope out the book, Stones of Wisdom from the Cool Council. It's available on all 7 of the Amazon sites worldwide. It's definitely some helpful info for those just exploring the spiritual journey. And there's a lot of good info about healing and healers in there as well. I also have a YouTube that has several guided meditations to take you deep into a trance state, to experience your special place as well as speaking with spirit. So definitely scope them out. And we would love for you guys to scope out the Sacred Embers website. All of our team members are listed there. Healers, mediums, all levels of different spiritual work is available through the different members. And that website is sacredembersshow.wixsite.com/love. You'll find everybody there. And just remember, we do have the Sacred Embers community group on Facebook. We'd love for you to join us. And all of the team members are there as well to provide support. And there's like-minded people to help you on your spiritual journey and answer some of your questions. Join us next week on Tuesday night on The Lighthouse with host Tina Godin, Natasha Scott, and myself, for a wonderful night of learning and discussion about spirituality and all of the fun antics that go along with it. Monday night is Monday's Magical Mystics with DC Love, Dawn Mitchell, and myself, Shannon Johnson, where we do free readings as well as a little topic discussion. And Wednesday night is Divine Connections with Sue Delamonte, Lynn Bleasdale, and Sue Beckley.
Beckley.
Oh my goodness, I couldn't remember. Ran away really quick. I had to grab it back. Beckley. It's been a great night, ladies.
Yes, yes.
It's been
great
wonderful
discussion.
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome. All right, ladies, you have a good night. And I will talk to you soon.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.